It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back.
So I got a text from Will Kunkel, letting me know beforehand this news. And I imagine he probably thought, hey, they'll probably be back by 11:01, 11:02, maybe even on the air at 11. He can just mention it. Man doesn't know this show. So if you're on Twitter, for you already know this. But Will Kunkel, let me know that Danielle Hunter is your AFC Defensive Player of the Week. No surprise.
Yeah.
3.5 sacks, 4 tackles for loss, had 4 quarterback hits, forced a fumble. I don't know how anyone could have had a better week.
Gave J.J. Watt the warm fuzzies up in the booth.
That's right. So all those things come together for Danielle Hunter to win AFC Defensive Player of the Week. Thank you for the text, Will. Just this show is not professional.
Narduzzi, so. Yeah.
Yeah, so it would have been more timely to announce it like right at 11 as opposed to 11:10, but hey, we are who we are.
Hey, can't maybe you're ourselves. Driving. You haven't looked
not
at
everyone
phone.
Has their phone
yeah.
open while they're driving. I know some people do.
Yeah, but not everybody.
But not everyone, and maybe you didn't have access to that information.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So thank you, Will, for that information.
And thank you, Will.
Yeah.
And you're welcome for those people that just learned that Danielle Hunter won the AFC Defensive Player of the Week.
If you were wondering and hoping that
Davis
that
Mills, Offensive Player of the Week?
Have not seen that. I imagine okay. I would have got a text on that, okay. too. That's probably going to Jonathan Taylor.
11:15? Oh, yeah.
Probably going to Jonathan Taylor, who won't win the MVP.
I've heard it both ways.
No, you haven't. Yeah, you heard it from yourself when it came to Davis Mills. Jonathan Taylor probably won't win MVP because he's a running back and Matt Stafford exists.
Yeah.
But if we're going to give it to a guy, that's the guy, if non-quarterback.
It really is if Matt's – because if it was him versus, like, Drake May, I could even see the groundswell kind of growing for him. But Matt Stafford, A, having a phenomenal season. B, is the like kind of guy.
He's a people's quarterback.
Everyone loves Matt Stafford.
Lamar Jackson got that.
Yeah, he's an old timer.
But
Matt Stafford
is the people's quarterback.
He is the people's quarterback. And now he's like won enough to where people can just like be open about their Matt Stafford love. They're just like, yeah, this guy's awesome. We don't have to pretend he's not because he's going 4-11 every year.
Because he's with Detroit.
With Detroit, yeah.
And I was looking at Taylor's numbers. Of course, he had the 244 against the Falcons, the 3 touchdowns.
He has like multiple 3 touchdown games.
Yeah, not just multiple. He has now it does fit the multiple categories. He's got 4 of them. 4 3 rushing touchdown games. And if you combine receiving with rushing, he has another one. So he has 5 3 rushing touchdown games when you combine that one game. And yet, he may finish in third place in MVP voting. Maybe.
Yeah.
Because he's not a quarterback, which is a shame because he's been really good. And you know, Daniel Jones, cool. Maybe you win bounce back or whatever it's called, comeback player of the year, whatever it might be. But we know the deal. We saw it.
Yeah. Hopefully, Taylor gets offensive player of the year.
I would imagine. Probably. I don't know who's really competing with him for that non-quarterback wise. Who I don't is there a receiver that could
JSN.
Yeah. That could be one.
Smith and Jigba has been incredible.
We saw that.
Yeah.
Against the Texans.
Even last week in a blowout, like he got his numbers like in the first 2 quarters that were competitive or quarter and a half that was competitive. Like he just ended up with a full game worth of stats.
So if now the Colts go 15-2. And they'll probably be flexed into games that are standalones because they weren't scheduled to be in these games going into the year. How many yards does he have on the season? Like, he's got 1139 with 7 games to go. It's going to be tough
to
get to 2,000.
Yeah, he's like just off pace, right?
Yeah, but if he got the 2,000 yards and 20-plus touchdowns, could we consider it?
I think 2,000 is a big number you have to get to. And then a bunch of touchdowns. Because that's what Saquon was competing against a better quarterback crop that year. Yeah. And he also didn't have the touchdown production where it wasn't as eye-popping.
Jalen Hurts was taking his touchdowns.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And see how that's worked.
Saquon last year, at least on the ground, had 13, but did get to 2,005 yards. But he didn't – but
yeah.
But Jonathan Taylor already has more rushing touchdowns than Saquon did last year. Because Daniel Jones isn't quarterback sneaking as much.
He's not a
he's done it a couple times, but
he's
not doing it as much. Like Saquon had years where he wasn't winning in New York, so I imagine it was all gravy last year.
How about this? In week 18, 17, 16, 15, I had to count backwards. Week 15, Colts going to Seattle. That one.
Let's go.
Gets flexed. Offensive player of the year trophy in the balance.
On the line. Do they bring it?
Yeah.
Like it's a CFP title.
Yeah, put
title,
it on the field.
Trophy.
Yeah.
And just have it sit there and let the guys play for it.
Whoever wins runs over and takes it.
Yeah, like it's a trophy in the Big Ten.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Minnesota versus Michigan, the jug or the...
Or dangle it from the top.
Like it's
wrestling.
It's wrestling.
Yeah.
I would... We don't get them because they can't plan them that way. I wish they would do that. Like, if there's an MVP battle, hey, Stafford versus whoever, winner takes all, and Stafford, just he wouldn't run. He wouldn't sprint. He doesn't sprint anywhere. But, you know, casually stroll or jog.
Hustle over.
Yeah, to get his trophy. Paul Bunyan's axe on the line. Treat it that way.
Or if it's a situation where – like the 1 and 2 in the MVP or the 1 and 2 in the Heisman play in the championship game, that it should just be like double or nothing. Like you should be able to put it on the line.
Yeah. Let's say it's Sain versus Marshall Reed.
Yeah.
The Heisman Trophy.
On the line.
Should be there.
Like we gave it to Sain. He gave a beautiful speech. But if Marshall Reed wins us.
We have the right to take it back.
And guess what? You get a speech, dude.
Yeah. While you're lifting up the national title trophy, we'll hand you the Heisman. You can give another speech.
Yeah, you're not going to be wearing a suit. You'll be wearing a jersey, but that's fine. That's fine.
Which is more representative.
Yeah.
Who cares if you're in a suit or not? Like, we're doing a lot of things that will never happen, but our minds work that way.
I actually do think the Heisman or MVP in the...
MVP
in, you know, football or in basketball.
After the year.
Baseball's a little tough, but yeah.
I agree. I think those awards should be handed out after the year. Because if you go on a run to go help your team win a national title, who's to say you're not the best player in college football?
No.
Particularly with the expanded schedule with the playoffs.
Yeah, you're going to play. There's a chance that a team like Indiana, a team like probably A&M, Ohio State, all these teams might play their three toughest games of the season back to back to back at the end of the season.
Yeah.
So like, Julian Sain won the Heisman for beating Minnesota and Purdue every week. But it's like, then when it really got on the line.
And if he's not good.
We saw that Ty Simpson or whoever was the, I don't know. I also think in pro sports, the postseason stats should count. I don't know why we separate them.
Who knows? It's just because they've always done it, I guess. But I'm with you there. If your most important games happen later in the year, why are we giving you a best player in college football trophy.
Yeah, it was different when it was just like the BCS or before
with the bowl games.
Yeah,
like, where you get like, one game.
I get it. I get why it's just like it's one game, whatever.
But if you're playing four games after your season is technically over.
Against top 15 teams or top 25 teams. Maybe one of them's, you know.
You're playing the best competition you've played week after week after week. I think maybe that's a better determining factor than beating up on Rutgers.
Yeah.
Possibly.
I can't believe Sands, though. Like,
he's there by default. I mean, who's watched Ohio State enough to really think?
I've watched one full Ohio State game.
Yeah, who's watching them week after week?
It was week one where they're scared to let them throw.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we'll see them against Michigan. But Michigan's a good football team, but there's not a lot there that is going to impress you.
Like, I feel like Mendoza should. I mean, it's funny. It's like they're in a close game against a team they shouldn't have played close.
But he made
some big balls but throws.
They were partly in that spot because he didn't play that well up until that point.
That is the funny thing about the Heisman, where it's like Heisman moment. He didn't really play that well.
Yeah, it wasn't like it was 45-42 and the defense just kept giving it up and he had to keep responding. And as I said before, the margins, man. He had a pass deflected that if that Penn State DB could get his feet in order, he would have broke on that football because it was floating in the air. He just couldn't get his feet right to get to the football. There is no Heisman moment. There is no Gus Johnson, who's being heavily criticized in the city of Detroit. But first, there's some radio guy crushing Gus Johnson because he always sounds like that. So he ruined the moment. Speaking of Detroit, we'll hear from Jared Goff at some point because he has thoughts. Louis Riddick, who used to be like Teflon, he did that Brian Branch thing.
Oh, yeah.
And now
he's got a Goff one?
Now in a non sequitur, Jared Goff took a shot at him. So we'll hear that. But I can't see that name. We'll get to this person. We're going to hear from Draymond. We'll do that. But let's get to this caller, but I can't see their name. I imagine it's Eric. It is Eric. Let's get to Eric before we go to break. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. How do y'all feel about the new H-Town Rockets gear? I like the Dunkstronaut. I think it's what they call them. And, what about that episode of the Dairy on Sunday? Didn't it seem kind of Ghostbuster-ish? If I haven't seen it, the ghost kind of looked like they had Ghostbusters. I'll hang up and listen.
I did see it, and that I did think that. And when I watched the when they show the making of, 4 to 5 minute video afterwards, they did mention like ectoplasm, which is a Ghostbusters thing. So, Eric, you're dead on there.
Did they say Slimer at any point?
They did not mention that. But yeah, it was a thought of mine. So, I would agree there with you, Eric. As far as the Dunkstronaut stuff, isn't that a repeat of their jerseys from last year? Didn't they? Haven't they had those jerseys before?
2 years ago.
Okay. So, yeah. I like them.
They're good.
As a city edition jersey, they're fine.
I'm surprised they ran them back with the same exact one. Well, normally, the Miami Heat.
They did it. They brought back the black Miami Vice jerseys for this year, too.
But they did, four different years.
And they did
different
a white
colors.
One. They did a pink one. They did a light blue one. Yeah. And now they're back to black.
Yeah. So I was a little surprised they didn't do, a red one, just to,
just sell more jerseys?
Just to justify the Nike guy's job who is to design jerseys.
Yeah, I think it's one of their better alternates that they've had. But I have not seen the accompanying gear, but I've seen the jersey and I like them. And they'll have their representative court with it as well.
Yeah. They have a mascot,
a Dunkstronaut mascot.
Yeah. Which is very funny.
So what's Clutch up
for
to?
For eight days a year.
Is it the same guy who does the Clutch?
I don't know. No, I think Clutch and Dunkstronaut will interact.
Ah, got it. Got it.
It's not a Clark Kent Superman situation.
Yeah, I'm looking at something from last year. The Dunkstronaut and Clutch. As the Dunkstronaut can dunk. They let him jump on a trampoline.
It's his
They don't first allow name. Clutch to do anything other than dance and throw cakes at people, I guess.
Yeah.
Who are dressed up as Spurs fans.
Who are Spurs fans.
No.
Yes.
I'm sorry I'm pulling back the curtain there. That is not that's not someone who signed up for
if
that.
If you wear an opposing jersey,
it's not even
a Toyota Center.
I will
there's
tell
a chance Clutch the Bear throws a cake in your face.
Can you imagine if they just threw random cakes at just people who bought a ticket to watch their team play?
I would.
you know how much trouble the Rockets would be in?
Some employees a little violence with it.
Yeah.
Because
it's a paid employee that signed up for it. Hey, part of the deal here is sometimes you're going to have to wear a Wembanyama jersey and we get to throw a giant cake in your face while you pretend to be upset that the Spurs are losing. Can't believe he did it. Sorry, I'm pulling back the curtain. Make sure your kids shouldn't listen to the show. It's like me ruining Santa Claus, I know. But they also shouldn't listen for other reasons. Mostly Eric's calls and La Salsa's. All right. When we come back, we'll hear from Draymond Green. Trouble with the Golden State Warriors. They're not good. And now the older players. Jimmy Butler went on a bit of not a tirade, but he spoke about guys not playing defense and not trying hard. Well, Draymond talked about agendas. We'll hear from him after the game. They got smoked by the Thunder. And it couldn't happen to a better team. It's predictable. They're old. They are not going to try as hard as they did to end the season last year. And it's kind of showing up right now. So we'll hear from Draymond and Jared Goff. Both connections to the Detroit area. We'll do that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Del Olalea.
Rockets tonight against the Wizards. We're seeing the Dunkronaut uniforms. I think they're a very popular uniform. That's why they brought them back. We'll get that Dunkronaut court. Last night in the NBA, you had the Sixers pulling out a win against the, we know, depleted Celtics. That was a close ball game. We had the Nuggets and I forgot who they played with. Was it the Kings on the doubleheader? NBA Peacock, we only saw the first one. If you only watched it on NBC, you saw the Celtics lose to the Sixers. You had to switch to Peacock to see the Nuggets play against the Kings. Another game, the champs versus a dynasty from years ago. It was the Thunder running all over the Warriors, as is to be expected. The Warriors aren't playing well. They had played well earlier in the year, but now they're at 6-6. And it's kind of getting to the guys. And here's Draymond Green on agendas on the Golden State Warriors.
I think everyone has a personal agenda in this league. But you have to make those personal agenda work in the team confines. And if it doesn't work, then you kind of got to get rid of your agenda. Or eventually the agenda is the cause of someone getting rid of you. And so, you know, I think you don't want a team with no personal agendas, because a goal is an agenda, you know? And so you got to have some type of personal agenda. But like I said, you got your personal agenda must fit into the confines of the team.
Everyone thinks he's talking about Pods / Kuminga. Mostly people have gravitated towards Kuminga because of the offseason where they couldn't come to a deal in a timely fashion. He eventually winds up signing a short-term deal with the Warriors.
It sounds like whoever he's talking about, he's had the conversation a lot.
Already with, probably,
yes,
right?
Yes, and before going public with it.
Yeah, now 12 games in when they're 1-6 on the road. All right, let's talk.
Yeah. Personal agendas. I mean, he is right. I mean, we talked about it a little bit when before the season, when Tari Eason was talking, where it's like, no, you want players that think of themselves highly and want to
get better,
grow
and
their game,
expand. Yeah,
but I mean, like Draymond says, it can't come at the expense of being whatever your team needs you to be.
I don't know who specifically he's talking about, but no agenda caused what happened last night to happen.
No, I mean,
they're not a good basketball team, at least not regular season-wise. They may get it together, but this is a team who's built for the 2+ month grind of the playoffs. They are not built to be a team who goes through an entire regular season playing at the level this older team needs to play at. For as much as we talk about, or at least they will talk about, the guys who've done it before and know how to do it, they also have a bunch of dudes outside of their three. Yeah. Like Buddy Hield, fine. He lit up the Rockets in Game 7, and he's a shooter. But there are times when Buddy Hield is unplayable when he's not making shots. That happens. Moses Moody, Trace Jackson Davis. Yeah. We saw all those guys last year in the playoffs.
Pat Spencer,
Santos. Just a bunch of dudes. Yeah. I don't know if they're real rotation players on really good teams. But the Warriors are so top-heavy that those guys have to be contributors. And when they don't play well, like you maybe should expect them not to play well, things like last night happen, particularly when Jimmy Butler's taking three shots. Like, you're the veteran, you come out and talk about things. He talked about got to play defense and all the team stuff. You got to take more than three shots. What are you there for when you're getting paid the $50-plus million a year for? In a tough game where Steph doesn't shoot the ball well, you're going to take three shots?
Yeah.
And that's the Jimmy Butler experience.
Yeah, because if, you know, it's a situation where if Jimmy didn't, and that's why Jimmy Butler is such a great fit for him, is for the, okay, if Steph Curry either is off the court or isn't making shots or whatever, is being doubled and trying to get taken away, What do you have to, like, who hurts you? Who else on the court can hurt you and get their own shot and score some points? Before that, it was nobody. Before they traded for Jimmy Butler, the whole point of Jimmy Butler is to be that release valve, the kind of, you know, second option on the offense where when teams overcommit to Steph Curry like they should, you can punish them with Jimmy Butler in an advantageous position. You need, like you said, you need to take more than
three
shots.
Here's the thing with Jimmy Butler, that
8 free throws, though.
Oh, well, he is a guy who gets the line. What I've seen from him, good defenses, particularly over the course of the last couple seasons.
Yeah.
He's not that guy. Like, the Rockets have good defense, and he had his moments. Of course, he hurt his tailbone, which affected him in the next series. But if you just look at his play, against the dregs of the league, He'll grift his way to 25 points in 27 minutes. Oh, Jimmy being Jimmy, that's what we're looking for. But when you got the Thunder on the other side, he ain't built for that anymore, at least in the regular season. Maybe that happens in the playoffs, which I guess at this point you might ask, are they going to get there at 6-6? But couldn't happen to a better team to be locked in with Jimmy and an upset Kuminga. Yeah. And, of course, at some point, Draymond – they haven't given an extension to, but he's looking for that, right? Just keep getting older. Keep doubling down, because I know you don't want to waste Steph's last best years. But think about this. We'll go to break, but I want to mention this. The reason the Rockets have Kevin Durant is because the Phoenix Suns were so desperate to acquire Jimmy Butler that they pissed off Kevin Durant. Mm-hmm. This Jimmy Butler. Thanks, Phoenix. Appreciate you.
Yeah.
I get wanting to get away from Bradley Beal, but you put Kevin Durant in trade discussions, and now look at you. Thanks to Kevin Durant for telling the Warriors, nah, I'm good, because the Warriors wanted Kevin Durant. So everyone, and Jimmy wanted Phoenix. So everyone got their second choice, except for the Rockets, who benefited by getting Kevin Durant. The Warriors got their second choice. Jimmy got their second choice. Phoenix maybe got their fourth choice. I'm not sure. But they did get off of Bradley Beal, so maybe that was the most important thing. But they wound up with Jalen Green, who is out for 46 weeks. Dylan Brooks, who Derek Queen is calling trash on the court.
All right, Derek Queen.
It's aggressive.
Have some respect.
But every guy says that. You trash when they don't like what you're saying. They all say that.
Especially to Dylan Brooks.
Yes, you trash. It's pretty. Dylan Brooks, it's a two-word insult that said a lot to guys of Dylan Brooks' ilk, who you may say doesn't have a bag, but is an effective NBA player. So all those things transpired, and it leads us to Kevin Durant in a Dunkstronaut uniform tonight against Cam Whitmore and the Wizards. See, bring it all back.
I wonder if you connect
everything and you comes back to this.
I wonder if Durant ever thought he would be in a uniform that has a Dunkstronaut on it.
I don't know his line of thinking.
I will say I just saw him and Capella do the thing where they are wearing the jersey and they're kind of like talking about it.
Yeah.
And he did say, like, we got the Dunkin' Astronaut over there. It's a very funny thing.
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, H-Town. And he's like, it should be H-Town. Like, he's like, they should spell it differently. And I was like, Kevin, I think you can say that. I don't think that
Everyone can actually
unveil one that has the the spelling.
Yeah. And before we go, that was a thing with UCF and the Cougs.
Yeah.
I can't play the clip because it's, let's just say, vulgar in nature. But there's a Cougs player at the end of the game in their comeback win against UCF. At the end of the game, he was like, F UCF, we're Space City. Because UCF was in their space uniforms.
Yeah,
their annual tradition of wearing a different version of the space uniforms. And he was very upset about the thought that they would consider themselves Space City.
It's so funny to me that is a rivalry. I'm glad it is, but it is very funny that's like, no, we're the Space City.
I didn't even think to myself that UCF wore the jerseys against the Cougs for that reason. It didn't even occur to me that's the reason they want to start something where we're actually Space City.
I don't know if they have a protected rivalry set up in the Big 12. They need to have an annual
Space City game.
Just for that. Just because there's one What, a 21-year-old who's just like, F that. We're Space City.
We're the real Space like, City. I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
None of these guys are going to work for NASA.
Like, yeah, I mean. But fine.
Okay.
Okay.
Sure.
If that's what it needs to be called. Like, if we can call the Galaxy versus LAFC El Trafico.
Yeah.
We can call this a Space City rivalry, yeah. Whatever it takes to make that more important. Play it every year and.
Everyone wears a cool uniform.
Yeah, you want the Cougs want to wear their H-Town blue. I guess UCF would have to make, depending if they're playing the Cougs on the at home or the road, a road version and a home version, whatever it takes to make this a big deal. Make a trophy. A trophy started.
Did Willie Fritz say that they like played that up in the UCF game?
I don't know. He might have mentioned that. I don't remember.
Because that's, again, class. On the other side, the spectrum of Pat Narduzzi's idea of firing guys up to play, being like, this isn't a must-win. Who cares? As long as we win our ACC games, we're good. I like Willie Fritz being like, they're trying to claim space from our city. This is a battle for space, really.
Are you going
to
allow that?
It's not a battle of space cities. It's a battle for space.
Yeah.
The battle for space. UCF versus UA.
Hey, I'm sure they did some of it because after the game, I'm sure some tweets was referencing that. But let's play this up.
Orlando, we got a problem.
I don't know if the Big 12 can get on this, but we got an idea for you. Let's get it done. I'm going to find that. We got to play it.
Yeah.
We got to clean it up, but we got to play it. All right. We'll go to break with that. I'm glad the Cougs were able to win the annual, hopefully, Space City game.
Defend the honor of our fair city.
Yeah, Cape Canaveral. Whatever.
Cape Canaveral, whatever.
All right, we're done.
A successful launch one time, all right?
I did see, that was a headline. UH prevents successful launch. That was one of the headlines from the game. An actual space
You can't
shuttle.
Put a name to it.
No. But
or
it was,
you can.
But
you
it was about
trouble.
Them beating the
Failure
Knights.
To launch.
On us on their Space City during their Space City game, so that headline did pop up. All right, we'll go to break. Hopefully, we can find that clip to tell you why we find this so funny because he was very insistent.
It's like a video that you only see when like Florida beats Georgia. You know, like it's like that level of like I hate these guys.
Well, they disrespected him, and he said, "Not today." All right. We're done with the segment. We will be back.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So it looks like Sean found it, so he'll clean it up, and we'll play it for you, because I didn't see it coming. Did not know those two schools had that type of animus between them. And it showed up on the field. That was actually a good game. The Cougs were down for almost the entirety of that game. Turnovers, which has been the case for them, when they turn the ball over, they put themselves in really bad spots, but they were able to overcome it. And win the game. So nice bounce back for them as they are now an 8-win football team, I believe. So Willie Fritz just gets it done. He didn't join us this week. Hopefully we'll have him next week with John and Lance. But program builder, good things going on with the Cougs in basketball too. Number one team in the country they play tonight. So they haven't looked as sound as we are probably going to see them look in Big 12 play. I think their most recent game was against Townsend, and it wasn't impressive, but they leapfrogged Purdue to become the number one team in the country. So Kelvin Sampson and his veterans plus his five-star freshman get another chance tonight to, as they say, another opportunity to improve. Do we have it? Okay. Do we know the player's name?
I can double check after we play.
Okay, so this was after the game. The Cougs won 30-27. They came back and won. They kicked a couple field goals late and then held off UCF to win it 30-27 in Orlando last Friday. Here's the aftermath, at least for one player after the game.
Space City, our city. Hey! UCF, it's our city.
Space City is our city. F UCF. And the visual does more for you.
Yes.
He was up in that camera's face,
this is
letting everyone know.
Defensive back Kentrell Webb, who sealed the win with a interception late. And yes, this is from a UCF, at least a guy who has a
UCF profile.
And yeah, he is like getting in the face of the camera. Space City is our city.
It is.
F UCF.
It's insulting for them to wear those jerseys on that day when UH is in town. What are they doing?
And apparently Willie Fritz was quoted saying, quote, we're Space City. So
he made that pick in the end zone. UCF was driving. He made that pick at the goal line as the Cougs fought off UCF. So if you're going to make that play to win the game.
This tweet, shout out to Brandon Helwig, fully explains every question I had. Apparently, Willie Fritz said the team watched a video on Thursday night explaining Houston's NASA connection.
Well, there may be some kids who aren't from Houston.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are quite a bit. Maybe transferred in or maybe are just from not even the state of Texas, so they're not sure. Now you know.
My city, our city. Hey! UCF, it's our city.
We got to make that a thing beyond UCF. We'd have to take the UCF out of it, but anytime we hold serve at home, no matter who the team is, we hit it, we play it. Like if we beat
Space City, our city.
We got to pick and choose though. Beating the Wizards tonight, we don't need to play it. We don't need to play that tomorrow. But if the Colts come to town and the Texans beat them, what do we play, Sean?
Space City, our city.
Yeah, this is what we're talking
about.
Like
the hay at the end. Hey!
He said that F UCF with his whole chest.
Like staring into someone's television.
Into my soul. I'm looking at the video right now. The eyes. Wide-eyed.
You can see the whites of his eyes on both sides of his pupil.
He was not messing around.
F UCF.
He was hyped.
Dude, Willie Fritz, what a coach.
Where's Kentrell Webb from? If he's not from Houston, and if Willie Fritz got him to feel that way.
He's from, like, NASA. Like, he has to be.
He lives on the doorstep?
He has to be.
He lives in the Clear Lake area is what you're saying.
Yes.
Right on the doorstep.
He has to live in Clear Lake.
He's from, he's from Katy.
Okay.
And he followed Fritz from Tulane.
Okay. Right. So he's a Fritz guy.
He is a Fritz guy.
But yeah, to get this level of animus for this, not like, hey, we need to respond after losing
to West Virginia.
No. Kentrell Webb, this is for something much bigger. This is for Space City. This is for space, really.
Space City, our city.
Hey! I would agree.
He got it. He got that out of his team. They went down, fought back.
All because they weren't going to allow UCF to disrespect the city of Houston. While we are making a lot out of this, I'm aware, I got to credit Willie Fritz for apparently that being a thing they cared about on Friday night.
Yes. To me, I guess it's not more impressive. It is just as impressive as the overall turnaround that he's taken. It's that he got this level of care factor over what uniforms the other team was wearing.
Yeah, don't disrespect the Cougs. Wear your Space City uniforms when you play USF or something. That's actually a rivalry that you can wear them for. But now you got one on your hands.
Yeah, you got one. Messed around and found out.
I mean, for a good bit of that game.
Messed around.
The Cougs were in real trouble.
But what mattered most. And then what?
The fourth quarter. Okay, let's play one more time.
Space City, our city. Hey! UCF, it's our city.
That's right. Not only do we have this city, now we own that city too. All right, we'll go to break. That's the end of it?
Or not the end of the show, but we're in the last segment.
Oh, we're in the last segment. Oh. Let's hear from Jared Goff then before we go. Jared Goff, I guess he does maybe a weekly segment with a Detroit area radio station. They're coming off a big win against the Commanders. Really, the only notable things from that game is Dan Campbell took over play calling and then for the offense. And then Dan Quinn, maybe out of embarrassment, took over play calling for the defense after watching his defensive coordinator give up yards and points to Dan Campbell. He goes, okay, wait a minute. We're going to Spain.
It's emasculating.
Yeah. Fine, you can't handle it, but now I'm taking over, and I'm going to go try to shut down Tua and Mike McDaniel and Madrid. So the other thing that came from it was Deron Payne got suspended for a game for punching Amon-Ra St. Brown. Deron Payne put out, I don't know, through Instagram or Twitter, he showed video of Amon-Ra swinging at him first. So, of course, the second guy got caught. I don't know that Amon-Ra's even been fined for his part of that. So, Jared Goff, when asked about it, had receipts, and he had receipts for one Lewis Riddick. Here's Jared Goff on 97.1 The Ticket in Detroit.
Javon Kinlaw got in your face at one point back when they had a player ejected. What was that interaction all about? What was said back and forth?
Yeah, he was not. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what he was really saying. He jumped off sides. I told him he jumped off sides. He said, "I know," and I don't know why he was so excited about jumping off sides, but he was. and then I think that was before or after they punched St. Brown in the face. And so I can't wait to see Lewis Riddick break that one down this week for us on Turning Point.
And if you don't know what that reference is, I actually put the sound on the rundown. Maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, whenever they played the Chiefs, Brian Branch didn't have a great game. And we talked about it at the time. It's the first time I remember an NFL show so specifically focusing on a player struggling the way. It's usually highlighting the success of a player. This one was crushing Brian Branch. And you'll hear Brian Branch early in the clip, and then you'll hear what Jared Goff took offense to from Lewis Riddick.
People doing stuff in between the play, and refs don't catch it. Like, they're trying to bully me out there. Should have never did it.
It was that a long music. Game for Lions safety Brian Branch, number 32. He got burned by Kelsey's basketball move. Got showed up by Mahomes.
Like an 80.
Yeah.
His fourth rushing sounds like, touchdown of the season.
Sounds like Dateline. We talked about
got
it when we
by
played
Xavier
it the
Worthy.
Time. The music sounds
Worthy
like
Dateline. With the feet like a featherweight boxer gets to the outside
and took a shot from Juju Smith-Schuster.
I got blocked in the back illegally. It was front of the ref. The ref didn't do anything. I could have got hurt off of that, but I still shouldn't have done that, so.
The turning point led to Branch's boiling point and a one-game suspension.
They pulled that because of how ridiculous it was. Like, the Lions are like, wait a minute, what's going on here? Why is he being treated like an offender?
Yeah, it's like how John Wayne Gacy got pushed to the edge.
Yeah.
This is like even Ryan Murphy is like, all right,
guys,
I don't know
enough.
If we need
what
to make
an
8-part documentary about.
So that is what Jared Goff was referencing. The Lewis Riddick, one of the guys who when you see him on ESPN, he seems reasonable.
Yeah.
He seems to know what he's talking about.
Just ball only.
I had not heard a negative thing about him. Now the Lions know who he is in a way that he probably wishes they didn't.
Yeah, just caught astray.
Yeah. So
the question was about Javon Kinlaw somehow Lou Riddick.
So somehow you worked your way into talking about Lewis Riddick going after your guy. Hey, Jared Goff, the quarterback, protecting this guy. And the Lions have a new play caller. It just so happens to be their head coach, who did a good job against the Commanders. What did they put up, 40-some points against the Commanders?
I mean, they smoked them.
They smoked them.
They were doing whatever they wanted.
Yeah. Been a sad year for the Commanders. McLaurin won't be playing. That started really since he was holding out in training camp. And, of course, you have Jaden Daniels hurt as well. All right, we're done for the day. Tomorrow, we'll at least know the status of some of the Texans. Is Jalen Petrie out there? CJ Stroud playing or at least practicing? And what about Titus Howard? So we'll talk about that tomorrow. We'll hear from the coach, D'Amico Ryans, as well. And we'll talk about the Dunkster Knots against the Wizards. That should be an easy win. We'll see if Cam Whitmore does anything of any note. Does he get a video? No. Does he get an acknowledgement? Maybe. All right. Since we're done for the day, Sean, what does that mean? I can guess.
My city, our city.
Hey!
UCF, just our city.
Yeah, I knew that was coming. As you guys should have as well. We'll talk to you tomorrow.